Blog Talk Radio.
To the king of the fathers of the nations, I'm a god, but I swear these fucking devils are racist. But I try not to hate, just debate you from the basis. I hit you with these facts and then watch you pick up your faces. And now you feeling guilty, you're swearing that I'm fallacious, when all I got is facts in these actual situations. Now I can take you back to when crack was in the 80s, and crack was in them babies, and crackers was going crazy. Now I can take you back to the Black Panther. Shout out to my strong sister Angela, R.I.P. to Hampton, and so to you, we knew, and then the side of Shakur, and all the people I ain't mentioned, cause it's so many more. Say what you do when it's for, I say it's so many poor, and if nobody stands up, we just get used to the floor. We just get used to losing you from being shot or trying to shoot. So if they call them white lies, then black must be the truth. To bow down,
head to the king, and lots of lies.
Yeah,
may it protect us.
Roll a spliff on this one.
Head to the king,
yeah,
lots of lies. May it protect us from being
Hail Selassie, naysayers should stop it. Who are you to say the dude is not a prophet? But if you possess agape, your people is the topic. They scandalize your name, better keep your right hand, better keep your mind right, cause our babies are getting slain. You genocide, abortion becoming our main thing. I swear they trying to kill us, but not before they bill us for all the fucking pills and the ills that condemn us. But I fear no mind, no blinder, tell your soul so long. We've come a long way, but there's more, so hold on, hold on to your vision and your rifle for dear life, cause life is sure, dear Lord. See, every night we fight for our freedom to be the light to the righteous we become. Rastafari, I 5% we know. So tell the motherfuckers, watch the throne, I'm gone.
Head to the king and lots of love. May it protect us from the evil. Head to the king, lots of love. May it protect us.
What up, man? Good afternoon. It's Minnesota Fresh. Don't forget the three. Welcome to Fresh Fridays. Hosted by Minnesota Fresh and Don't Forget the Three. Just want to say what's up to y'all out there, man. I hope y'all had a good week. I know y'all glad it's Friday. TGIF and this motherfucker, man, all day. Just want to see how y'all doing out there, man. Make sure y'all call in if y'all got any questions for me today. We're going to play some good music and keep it rolling. Today's topic is about family, you know, the family structure, and specifically the black families, just for the simple fact that 75% of the households are broken up, and I believe that's essentially what I would like to call an epidemic, you know, something along those lines. So we got to figure out what's going on here. So basically, yeah, that's the topic of the day. We're going to talk about families back in the 60s. We're going to talk about the families right now. We're going to talk about the families that we was raised in, families we came from, and families we made, you know. So that's basically what today is, man. We're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff, and we're going to play a few more songs here. Y'all get into the groove, you know, vibe with me and shit. It's Minnesota Fresh. Thank y'all for calling in. We're going to play Erie Canal, man. A song called Book of Matches. Thank y'all for calling in and stay tuned.
Yeah. It's just a simple riddle. He had a fist full of thorns, a mouth full of petals, backpack full of metal, inside of a dog ghetto. A wooden boy lost, trying to be a man. The block is on fire, they finally understand. Book of Matches.
Thank you.
He forfeited his future for more pain. Unfortunately, the fortune he was chasing never came. When he walked in the rain, he swole up and started creaking. When the demons began speaking, the tears he held back began leaking. No choice, odds weren't at odds with the daily mirage. He'd been trying to get the fuck out of Dodge. He sold everything, including the little hope that he had. It was potent, wrote in gold on a pad. His dreams and nightmares lyrically. See, that was part of the track. Keep you thinking it was only a rap, but it's pure sap. Poured from the gut of his veins, his skin changed and became wood grain. Termites all in his brain. He has a fist full of thorns, mouth full of petals, a backpack full of metal, inside of a dog kettle. Wooden boy lost, trying to be the man. The block is on fire, finally understanding. He has a man full of thorns, mouth full of petals, a backpack full of metal, inside of a dog kettle. Wooden boy lost, trying to be the man. Black is on fire to finally understand it. Broke a mad catalyst, a full frontal assault. Cause looking back into my past, I'd be a pillar of salt. The caterpillar told Alice to walk. When every corner got a devil, they embezzle for bezels. The diamonds cut another bevel. This a deeper level. Dust storms that never settle. Didn't whittle them down, it's profound. 2x4 for legs was forced to stand instead. He made the choice, he felt they left the poor for dead. Became a bonsai, kamikaze tendencies. His heart was 10 degrees lower than it's meant to be. Began budding and thugging, bugging, trying to find room to stretch his branches, plotting on bank branches, ranking his chances. The next day would be his moment of truth, dug in his roots and committed himself to shoot. Was all about the loot and the plot was resolute. Didn't understand they had led him to the bed of dead recruits. He had a fist full of thorns, mouth full of petals, a backpack full of metal, side of a dog kennel. Wooden boy lost, trying to be a man. The block is on fire, finally understanding. He had a man full of thorns, mouth full of petals, a backpack full of metal, inside of a dog kennel. Wooden boy lost, trying to be a man. The block is on fire, to finally understand it. A little man, sick man, waiting in line. The line is pocketing the line for the deposits. Within nine, with nine rockets, counted four cameras, two guards and nine stockets. Five times his hands dived in the pocket, couldn't stop it. Sweaty hands, no breeze, but the demons told him that it would be a breeze. Leave with at least four G's. Golden scribble on the paper was a letter, simple demands. Tell his mother he had done all he can. It said, fuck money. Screamed with a gun in his hand. He didn't want a penny. Too much dirt in the core. He poured all the bullet shells to the floor. Was it right on time or too late? The pigs rushed the door. Well, no one questioned what they bucking for. The blood rushed from his body like a wave to the shore. They lit him up. Huh. Mr. Book of Magic. Streets lit him up. He has a fist full of thorns, mouth full of petals, a backpack full of metal, inside of a dog kettle. Wooden boy lost, trying to be a man. The block is on fire, finally understanding. He had a mask full of thorns, mouth full of petals, a backpack full of metal, inside of a dog kettle. Wooden boy lost, trying to be a man. The block is on fire, finally understanding. Go from mad.
What up, we back. We're going to get into one more song real quick here, man. That was my dude, Erie Canal, E-E-R-I-E-C-A-N-A-L, man. That flow, I fuck with my dude, Flo, man. He was really getting off on some lyrical shit, man. Came across this on my list. I got to play this, man. This is, matter of fact, I'm going to just play it and let y'all vibe to it. I know y'all know who it is and what song it is, but this is most definitely one of my favorite artists, though. I'm going to run this real quick. We're going to come back and talk about some real shit after we hear some real shit from a real woman. Thank you. Here we go.
I'd like to dedicate this to all of the Creator's righteous children. I have some food in my bag for you. Not that edible food, the food you eat. No, I have some food for thought. Since knowledge is infinite, it has infinitely fell on.
Right
about to there. It was a stormy night. You know the kind where the lightning strikes. And I was hanging out with some of my artsy friends. Ooh, you. The night was long. The night went on. We were cooling out until the break of dawn. Incense was burning, so I'm feeling right.
All right.
Please, amigos, can't please you, and that's why I do what I do. So flashy like a willow tree, do we, do we, do we?
Yo, man, Erykah Badu. I grew up off of Erykah Badu, man. Lauryn Hill, En Vogue, a whole bunch of jazz artists, man. I was raised in a real soulful household, man. Let's get back in it. We're going to start off basically by letting everybody know or bring it to the attention of people. I talked to my grandma the other day, so this is really confirmed. And as far as how the family structure was back in the 60s and the 50s and stuff like that, my mom was born in the mid, I'm going to say the mid-60s. You know, not going to give a real date, not going to give a real age, fuck around and slap me. But she was born in the mid-60s, so, you know, my mom was born in the era where we started to decline anyway. But as far as my grandmother goes, she raised 6 kids of her own, and then a granddaughter, which is only 4 years younger than my mother. So she raised a lot of kids, and she knew what the real household was supposed to be. And she talks to me a lot about, you know, a lot of things. And she just said nowadays, you know, women coming from a woman's mouth, you know, women just don't know their place. And men, really, we done lost our place, too. But it's easier for a man to find his place because it's innate. You know, these are things we want in a relationship. You know, we want to feel powerful. You know, we want to feel like we're in control. You know, that's just a man's instinct. But once the woman, once the government gave the woman everything that the man had prior, you know, started giving her free money, like, you don't even have to work here. Just take this, you know, and here's a place. You can stay here, public housing. You know, you can stay here, pay $25 a month, pay that. We'll give you food stamps and cash only if you don't have a man in the home. And that's where everything essentially started to fall apart, because in the 60s, we knew we had to stick together, because they were trying to break us apart, literally or physically, I should say. They were trying to, you know, they take the man and literally, you know, hook him up to 4 horses and rip that motherfucker apart like he was nothing, you know. So it kind of saddens to see that most people look at the man like, you know, it's the black man's fault. But when you realize that this has been going on for centuries upon centuries, that they were trying to get the black male to basically break the head of the household, and then the household just fall apart. You know, essentially, you know, hit the head, the whole body or die type shit. And that's literally what happened. But instead of being so outwardly hateful and violent, during the 60s, between the 60s and the 70s, they stopped doing that because it was becoming too obvious that they hated us. So what they did was they found a way to transfer their hate of us into us. And this happened in the 80s. This happened in the early 80s during the crack era, the crack epidemic. But before that happened, they broke down the family structure by feminism, the feminist movement, you know. And once the Black Panthers were done and they killed Fred Hampton, you know, the CIA and the FBI, they murdered him in cold blood because he wanted to protect himself. But that's another story. But either way, they broke down the Black Panther structure. And another thing they did with that is there are 2 women that I can quote their names, and you can search for them, and they'll really enlighten you. But these are really strong, black, powerful women. One of them is Angela Davis. She's still alive. Luckily, she's still alive to this day. And she actually, she's a professor at a college. I can't quote right now, but she's still in the U.S. And then there's another one, Asata Shakur. And no relation to Tupac, but Asata Shakur was actually shot by the police, and she had to leave and go to, she became a political refugee in Cuba. But around the time when she's been down there for some 40, 50 years in Cuba, to take asylum away from U.S. to keep her life, you know. So what happened with a woman, with women of these, of this stature, they knew the truth. They knew how to fix it. They knew what was going on, and they knew their place in the household as far as the family goes. And having women this powerful teach all of our women what they're supposed to be is really detrimental to what the white man wanted to do to our family structure. So essentially, you kill the head, they knock the powerful black man out. Then they went for the women because they were going to be able to speak to a whole nation of black women and bring them out of this mental slavery that's been indoctrinated into us since the day we came and landed on these shores, you know, our ancestors. So as it started, our family was together in the 60s, and we were strong because we knew who we needed to fight. And we knew that we didn't need to fight each other. We needed to fight that outside source that was trying to keep us apart. And this is how it started. Our families at this point, I couldn't quote you a percentage, but I'm pretty sure the percentage of the households that were broken up in the 60s was nowhere near 75% as it is now. The last time I checked, it was 75, but I'm pretty sure it's 78, close to 80% now. But at that point in time, it wasn't that detrimental. I'm sure it wasn't. So we got to figure out what happened between then and now to understand what's going on and how to fix it. So what I'm going to do is get into some more songs here. You know, I got to play one more of my girl Erica, man, Erica Badu. And we're going to take some calls and see what people have to say, man. But thank y'all for calling in, and we'll get right back to it.
Bye.
going on, man? Thank y'all for calling in. Just had to play a little Erykah Badu, man. Certainly. I love Erykah Badu, man, because if you listen deep to what she's saying, it's always another level to what she's speaking, you know. But yeah, I got a call here. We're gonna bring in a few calls and talk about what's going on out here now. But I got 952-484. I got you on right now. What's going on?
Fresh.
What's going on?
What's up with it, man? JG on the line, man. Repping this St. Paul life, Midwest, you know?
Love, man. Tell them how you get it, man. Let them know where you at. Let them know where to find you, man. Let them know your Twitter, your Facebook, any music or videos you got out, man. Make sure you promote yourself and drop that.
That's right, man. JG, a.k.a. J-Rap, man. Repping this Midwest all the way from the side to the Paul, man, on this East Side living the life, man. Check me out on Facebook, man. JG the Hustler, man. Go look me up on YouTube. I'm out here, man. JG the Hustler. Get it.
Most def, G. Nice to hear from you, man.
Definitely.
But, yeah, G, you know, we just basically talking about our families, you know what I'm saying? I know you got kids, man. You take trips to see your kids, man. This is a good father right here, man. No matter what, we out here, we got to do what we got to do to survive, you know what I'm saying? But we make sure we touch base with our kids, you know what I'm saying? And this is one of the brothers right here. Already know, man. He love his family, man. So let him know anything you feel about, you know what I'm saying, your baby mom and any negative things that, you know, you trying to work over. That's hard for you, you know what I'm saying? But you still fight through it, man. Let everybody know.
I mean, you know, we all go through all the difficulties with the baby moms and the baby mama drama. You can't see the kids because you're doing this and doing that, you know, but it's a higher power out here, though, so, you know, motherfucker really got to let it go and let God, man, because it ain't even worth it to be arguing with the baby mom, then the kids see you arguing, and it really don't even be worth it, you know what I mean? There's something bigger and better besides the mother and the father, and that's the kids, you know what I mean? A lot of women don't understand that it's a bigger situation,
man.
You know what I mean? It ain't even about me
realize
no more. It's about the little ones, you know what I mean?
Exactly. That's one thing we, you know, I think men focus on that more because at the end of the day, we can let go of our
right.
You know, our baby moms a little sooner than they can let go. But at the end of the day, they don't realize that we can't think about what we want, you know what I'm saying, and how what we need and what we want. We got to figure out what the kids need and what the kids want first. And then everything that comes off of that. But they have the power, you know what I'm saying, sometimes, you know, every nigga go through this, you know what I'm saying? Because the woman got main custody of the kids. So, you know, they like to put the kids in between. Like, you can't see your kids if you talking to that bitch still. You talking to that bitch still?
Right.
You can't see your kids.
but once
they realize it's all about the kids, man, it don't even matter, man. None of that matters.
Exactly, but you know, they still be caught up, they still be loving a nigga, and they don't want to let a nigga go. That'd be the real reason.
You know. My bitch can't let a real nigga go. It's kind of hard, you know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, I love you, I just can't stand you. Yeah,
for though. Real.
You got
for
kids,
real.
Though,
even,
so
even,
I don't
and
care.
You know what, even through all the drama, nigga, still big shout out to my baby mom. You know what I mean? She do her thing for the kids. She just be acting funny. They still big shout out to the baby mom. She produced two beautiful ones for me. So it is what it is.
Most man. I mean, you had half to do with that. Don't short sell yourself,
definitely.
My dude. Don't
definitely,
you know?
Definitely.
They have yours too. They wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for you either. So,
for
you
real,
know,
for real.
We gotta always shout out our BMs, you know what I'm saying, no matter what they say, and you know what I'm saying, as long as they ain't pumping into the kids' heads, you know, your daddy ain't shit, and he ain't this, and he ain't that, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the day, let the child, you know, come up with their own assessment of who their father is and how they feel about their father, you know, either being around or not being around or, you know, what he buys for, but you know what I'm saying, just don't coerce your children into looking at their parent a certain way. You know what I'm saying? If your kid hates you, you know what I'm saying? It'll be better for, you know, I don't want to blame it on my... Yeah, I'm not going to be like, bitch, it's your fault. My son hating you. You know, I want my baby mama to be like, look, man, it was your fault. You know, I didn't tell him nothing. And how he feels, you know what I'm saying? And it's better to do that because I don't want to blame my baby mama for nothing. You know what I'm saying? So let it all fall on me. Just you know, let me
right.
let me be there how I'm going to be there, you know what I'm saying? And the kids, man, yeah. I ain't see my pops. Let's see, man. First time I saw my pops, I remember seeing him, I was 13. I think that was, or eight, I was eight. I was 8 years old, you know what I'm saying? But my mom never told me, you know, whenever I asked her about him, she just told me, like, you know, he in Phoenix. You know, she'd keep it real,
right.
but she wouldn't diss him. She wouldn't say nothing negative. She'd just be like, you know, that's where he at. Why he don't call?
Right.
I don't know, baby. You know, she'd just leave it at that.
Right.
But never held a grudge against my pops, man. And I think that's really, you know, if there's any children listening, you know what I'm saying, that's one thing that never do that, because at the end of the day,
no,
you know,
life.
If you cancel somebody out your life, they canceled out your life. But if you give them a chance to be there, and they gonna be there, you know what I'm saying, how they want to be there.
Right.
So I never held no grudge against my pops, and you know what I'm saying, he always here for me whenever I call him and shit. So, you know, it's still all love, man.
Right.
But, AG, what you're going to have to do is send me some of your songs to my email, you know what I'm saying?
But
so
I need to get down there.
Most definitely. That's what I'm saying, man. We're going to have to get you some tracks playing on here and shit, you know what I'm saying? Keep going. But yeah, man. I appreciate you calling in, G, man. Most definitely. I really appreciate
you. You already know, man. I've got to support my thing.
Most definitely, man. I might, where you at, man? You in the hood?
I'm over here on Fuller at my girl crib.
okay. I'm gonna call you, you know what I'm saying? When the radio station's down, you know what I'm saying?
What you doing at 7?
Yep, you already know. I'm keeping this going to 7.
I'm gonna hit your line at like 7:15.
Most definitely, man. I appreciate you calling, man.
You already know I'm calling every Friday from this point on.
Most definitely. We're going to keep switching it up, man. Make sure you keep it raw, keep it gritty, and let them know how you feel, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, this station today, this show today is, you know, we're trying to figure out what's wrong with the families and trying to keep them together, but, you know.
See, this is what they got to do. All niggas got to do. When your baby mama get to talking crazy, I'm going to tell everybody out there, when your baby mama get to talking crazy, all you got to do is look at it and be like, bitch, don't get fresh with me, and just walk off. And she get to talking, you turn around and look at her and be like, hey, don't forget the three, bitch. Shout out to my nigga Minnesota Fresh, man, for real.
Oh, my mama, man. Good looking, man. That's love. Yo, my mama, that's what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put that, I ain't even got that song in the playlist, man. I swear to God, I wish I could just play that right now. That's going to definitely be in there next week, man. Yeah, tell them like that, man. Your baby mama's talking out the side of her neck. Tell her, bitch, don't get fresh with me.
For real. And don't forget the three, bitch.
All right, G, man, I'm going to get back into some more songs, man. Good looking on calling in.
All right, my nigga.
All right, one. Yo, man. That's JG right there, you know what I'm saying? My nigga rock with me hard, man. You know, we in the hood all day. You know, East Side crazy. You know how it go, man. But that's my dude, man. He take trips, you know what I'm saying, to go see his kids. All of them ain't in the same state and shit, you know what I'm saying? But he make moves, you know what I'm saying? And that's a real father right there, and that's most stuff. But get back into some old songs, you know what I'm saying? The next segment is we're gonna move after, you know, at first we talked about the 60s and when the families were together and what they did, you know, that the father worked and the mother sat and took care of the kids, you know, because that's literally her job. Kids need that nurturer. Kids need that mother, you know, and kids need that father to be there for discipline. You see what I'm saying? And without both of them, you know, you'd have your kids would just be undisciplined. You know, they won't have discipline essentially. And man, we got to realize that the mothers are the first front when it comes to the kids. You know what I'm saying? The mothers are, man. If we don't have y'all no more, man, if the mothers are stepping up to the man's position as far as financially, you know, to being the breadwinner and stuff, we're not going to have nobody to take care of the kids. And I'm going to show y'all how that affected us. I'm going to definitely show y'all how it affected us. But we're going to get into some more songs here, man. I had one in the queue. I hope I ain't lose it. Where is it? Oh, I wanted to play that so bad. All right, we're gonna move on to something else. I'll find that shit here in a split second, man. But this my dude, Crown Vic, man. My nigga Crown Vic, man. He's from Memphis, but he up here in St. Paul right now, man, going hard. I've been in the studio with my dude, man. The nigga just goes in, fam. You know what I'm saying? There's no question about that. Crown Vic and Mr. D, man. It's called I'm the Man. Thank y'all for calling in. Make sure y'all tell y'all friends to call in, too, man, to tell them if they got questions. You know what I'm saying? Call in and ask or they got anything to say. Call in and ask, man. But I'm about to run this Crown Vic and Mr. D. I'm the Man.
Feeling I have for you.
Yo, yo, thank y'all for calling in again, man. That was Chantel Singh. She's a Twin Cities artist from Minneapolis. She hosts KMOJ. She hosts KMOJ with Ray Richardson. That's who it is, Ray Richardson. But if y'all listening to KMOJ today, man, they were actually talking about essentially the same thing, you know, and I think it's really because it's something like an epidemic, you know, as far as how dysfunctional we are as families, as family structures and things of that nature. But what we need to do as far as figuring out how to stay strong is we got to get back to our roots. We got to figure out where we came from. And our history is sequentially taken from us, not only when we came over here to so-called, quote-unquote, America, but every day, you know, in any way they try to rob us of our identity and who we are and what we know, you know. So every day it's a war going on outside. No one is safe from. But that's how they get us. And what we got to realize is the only way out of this is to understand how we got into it. And we're going to start, the story basically goes on from, we were strong in the 60s, we were a lot stronger as far as family structures go. We were stronger then than we are now. And I think the main reason for that is essentially, if you look at it, when the 80s came around and the crack era came, we were still pretty strong then. We weren't as weak as a family structure as we are now. But when they introduced crack cocaine, now this is a really if anybody pays attention to it, it's really the main thing that broke the families apart, because crack cocaine came with a lot of extra things. And first off, let's just put this out there so everyone knows. There was no nigga in, where did crack cocaine hit first? In L.A. with Freeway Ricky Ross. And if you learn about Freeway Ricky Ross, the real Rick Ross, not Rose, that fat nigga, not him, not that nigga, it's the real Rick Ross. He just got out not too long ago, but he was used by the CIA to pump crack into the city. And he didn't know it. I mean, when you get money, when money starts to flow in so strong like that, it's hard to really say, I don't want to make it, especially when you've been financially disenfranchised, which essentially means your means of taking care of your family has been taken away. So let's backtrack a little bit back to the 60s before integration, when we had black businesses, black owned businesses, movie theaters. And by businesses, I don't mean no fucking mom and pop shop or, you know, a fucking corner store or food, you know, for a restaurant or something like that. Now, while we had those things, we also had movie theaters that we owned. And I mean, we owned things of that stature because it was still segregated. So if we couldn't go watch a movie where the white people watched a movie, we needed our own movie theaters. And the thing about that is our movie theaters played our own movies. And that's the thing. So when we had black businesses and black-owned corporations, and I don't even want to really call them corporations, but when we had things where black people could go to with black people to see black people and to feel that black love, you see what I'm saying? When we had those things, not only did we create jobs, we worked with each other, we lived with each other, we took care of each other. And, you know, this was back in the 50s, 60s, things like that, before integration. Now, when integration happened, integration didn't mean to the white man, it didn't mean, oh, we want to integrate with you, we want to do what you're doing. Integration meant we want you to spend your money in our movie theaters, in our stores, in our, you know, DMV, anything, you know what I'm saying, in our big clothing outlet stores, things like that. We want you to spend your money here. So integrate your money with us, and we'll still treat you like niggas. We'll just hide it because we like your green, even though you're black. So now that we've been disenfranchised from that point, you know, unemployment rates among African Americans is twice as high. Now, let me give you exact numbers. 14.4% of the African American society is unemployed. 7.4%. So slightly less than half. And when I say slightly, it's not even, I really even shouldn't say slightly less. It's half. 7.4% of Caucasians or white America is unemployed. Now, when you look at the discrepancy between these two, some white people will say, oh, black people are just lazy. That's why they don't want jobs. And some black people will say that too. But when you start to break it down and you realize how many black men are in jail and how many black men have felonies and how many black men can't get jobs because of those felonies, this is the system of racism that everyone speaks about, including me. And the system being the fact that once you go to jail, you get a felony, you get out, you can't get a job. So that heightens, that definitely heightens the unemployment rate because they won't hire felons. So then you basically, jail, prisons is an institution to build career criminals. Because when you go to jail, I can guarantee you this, when you go to jail, you just learn how to, when you go to prison or jail, you just learn how to be a better criminal. So that type of institution makes you a career criminal before you became a career criminal. You might have fucked up and did something, ended up in prison. But now you learn in that, first off, when you get out, you ain't going to be able to get a job. And second off, everybody that's in here are career criminals because they've been in here before, and they will teach you some things. So when crack hit, let's get back to that. When crack hit, we didn't formulate crack. There were no black chemists that learned how to chemically change the substance of cocaine into crack. Because at first, soft cocaine was a party drug, and it was basically for rich white people. It was for rich people and for mostly white people and raves and stuff like that. But then it was a lifestyle. And then they switched it over and they did something to it chemically and came up with crack and put it into the city. Now, what this did was, when they put that into the inner city, the people that got hooked, crack cocaine is a highly addictive drug, not only if you do it, but if you sell it and you make money from it. Once you see how much money you can make from this, it becomes, yeah, it's like, why not? I mean, it's not hard to do. I mean, yeah, you're killing your own people, but that's why they put it there. And that's why crack cocaine is a hell of a drug, as I will quote my nigga Rick James, cocaine is a hell of a drug. And the fact that when they switched it over to crack, you were either addicted to the money, you were addicted to the high, you were addicted to the lifestyle of the money or the high that it brought. You see what I'm saying? And essentially, that's part of what broke the rest of the black household up. It was like the straw that broke the camel's back. So after the feminist movement and, you know, trying to essentially talk the black families apart, it happened. But what really brought us to 75% of black broken households, I believe, was crack, in the fact that now you have the parents that are on crack that leave their kids because the crack high is more important. And this we all know. We all know crackheads, you know what I'm saying? That ain't nothing new. We all know crackheads. We done seen crackheads before. We know how they do. I used to sell dope myself. And I conflicted myself. I started selling weed. I ain't gonna lie. Started selling weed after I realized that they bought a 50 from me. You know, they bought a little half. And well, I was looking in their refrigerator, you know, because these are my regulars. They have three kids, you know, and I still see these kids out sometimes. And they look like they're good, you know, and I haven't seen their parents in a while. But when they didn't have food in the refrigerator, but they had $50 to give me, you know what I'm saying, for a piece of a rock that's really not that big, really not that big, but they had food. They were eating noodles. So, you know, it weren't like they were starving. But, and the mother and the father was there. And that's what really hurt me, because even though they're both there, they don't, you know, their kids were out and about and just running the streets and shit like that. So I felt like I was part of that cause. So I had an epiphany one day, and I was just like, why the fuck am I selling this white shit? Why they never did me good? And green has always been my favorite color anyway, so, you know, I just switched over. And I felt a lot better about myself also. But at the end of the day, when we realize that this is what happens when the black household gets broken up, when money comes involved and the black man is leaving all day to make this money. You know, it's harder for him to get a job when he has a felony, but it's easier for him to grab an 8-ball and chop it up and ship it out. And, you know, we got to do what we got to do. And once a man gets that type of money, he don't want to stop it. And he'll help you, you know, but he's not in the household anymore. And then there comes the law of, you know, not only child support, but public assistance, such as welfare and things like that, which basically tell you you can't have a man in the household if you want to retain all of your benefits, you know, as far as, you know, your public housing and your food stamps and your money every month. So that, along with, you know, men getting felonies and selling drugs and things like that, and people look down on my brothers when, you know, see them out there trapping, but I got respect for them just in the simple fact that just as easy as it is for a black man to go grab an ounce of hard or go get a QP of some weed, just as easy as it is for a black man to do that, it's just as easy for a white man to just go get a job. Just that easy. He can walk into a place and they'll look at him. You know, all a white man got to do is really nothing, you know, but be himself and walk into some place. It's just that easy. I ain't got to do nothing but walk up to my nigga and be like, let me get an ounce, fam, and have the money. And it's just that simple. So the system of what's going on here makes it difficult for a man to provide for his family, a black man to provide for his family, if he has a felony on his record. And then he has to do other things to get money because she ain't going to stop talking in his ear, you know, and he don't like being broke his damn self. So he going to do something about it, whether you like it, what he does, or you don't like what he does. But a man wants to feel like a man, and a man needs to get paid, you know. And eventually, you know, she'll get mad and things like that because he's never there. But what we got to understand is, you know, the women take care of the children. A man can't take care of 5 kids. And I'm pretty sure any woman listening, I'm pretty sure y'all agree with me in the simple fact that have a man taking care of 5 kids at the same damn time with no help, just him, he'd probably commit suicide. And I know it's happened before to where a man can do it, just like a woman can raise, you know, a son. You know, it's possible, but someone's going to be very stressed out. You see what I'm saying? And a man, he just doesn't come equipped with the emotions and the nurturing aspects that a woman has to take care of these children. It's just not possible. So now when the man is out of the house, the woman needs a job. The woman gets a job. Now the kids are out of school. She has a 9-to-5. The kids are out of school at 2:30. And as far as Minnesota goes, here in St. Paul and Minneapolis, I know definitely here in St. Paul, when you get out of school, there's nothing to do. So the mom's at home, the dad ain't nowhere to be found, for the most part, nowhere to be found. So then we have kids that are just out here doing whatever they can do to have fun, you know, going click up and go out and fight motherfuckers because it's fun at a certain, it is fun. You know, I used to do the same thing, so I can't act like I'm all high and mighty and I've never been in that type of situation. But once you look back on it, you realize, you know, it's all fun and games until niggas get guns. You know what I'm saying? We all fighting until somebody get jumped, and then he don't want to fight no more. You understand what I'm saying? So basically, 75% of our households are broken up, and it's systematic, and it's on purpose. This is one thing we have to realize. This isn't accidental. This isn't our fault. This isn't something that we imposed upon ourselves because we hated our family so much. Because before we came here, we were good. You know, we lived and we took care of families. We took it, you know, it took a village to raise a child. We don't do that anymore. You know, now it takes the government to raise your children. And that's another thing we got to fight against. But what I'm finna do right now is get into another song really quick, man. And we're gonna get back and finish talking about this, and you know, get some calls in. I got some people calling in just to make sure y'all know, man. When y'all call in, you press 1 if you want to speak. You know what I'm saying? To let me know. I got a few callers on here, and if you want to speak, just press 1. You know what I'm saying? You can press it at any time. So we're going to get into some songs here. Thank y'all for calling in. I really appreciate y'all listening. Call in and ask any questions. Chop it up with me. Promote yourself. Say whatever you got to say, man. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to get into some. I can't really, I be wanting to play some of this, see, I'm going to have to do it because this is my shit. This is Beyonce featuring J. Cole. My nigga got off on that motherfucking verse, man, but Beyonce and J. Cole party, you know what I'm saying? We likes to party, and we need to start our own party, if y'all catch what I'm saying. But we finna get up into this. Thank y'all for calling in. Press 1. If you want to speak, say anything, speak your mind, ask a question, and just say, you know what, Minnesota Fresh? Fuck you. Anything, you know what I'm saying? Just call in, press 1. Thank y'all for calling in, man. I really appreciate y'all listening. Beyonce featuring J. Cole. We likes to party.
You a bad girl and your friends bad too. Oh, she got the swag, so she drip the swag goo. You a bad girl and your friends bad too. Oh, you got the swag, so she drip the swag goo. Oh,
I may be young, but I'm ready.
Bad too. Oh, She got the swag, so she drippin' swag goo. You a bad girl and your friends bad too. Ooh. She got the swag, so she drippin' swag goo. Ooh.
What up, what up, what up, what up? Gonna get into a few more songs, man. How y'all feeling out there? Thank y'all for calling in. We finna get into a few more songs here, man. If y'all wanna say anything, man, y'all call in. Let me know if I'm lying. Let me know if you feel what I'm saying. You know, I got a lot of callers in. Just press one if you need to. If you wanna say anything, I really thank y'all for calling in, man, because we just trying to get all this shit out here. We finna play a few more songs, and we're gonna get back into it. The name of this next track is Flash featuring Universe. It's called Hella Fly. Thank y'all for calling in. We're getting into some more music. Appreciate the love. One.
I'm flowing in this devil sky, cruising by Jesus Christ. I can see the sun's eye, and it's hellified. I can hear the angels cry. I can be an angel too, but see you, I'm just hella fly. I'm hella fly, flowing in this devil sky, cruising by Jesus Christ. I can see the sun's eye, and it's hellified. I can hear the angels cry. I can be an angel too, but see you, I'm just hella fly. Hella fly, only nigga in heaven with devil's vibe. Planes try, but can't coordinate my cloudy sky. Propel, make precipitation dry. Make it rain when my tour bus arrives. Thunder on the side, beat booming out the ride. Wingman, written dropping haters like a skydive. No parachute, why? Only fly, niggas know. Modus operandi, got a planned out flow. Murdering the game, bro, X them all out. Leaving the flyers on top. Now you dropped out, real shit. Hella fly dude, got three of each six. J's on deck like a jumpman pirate.
I'm hella fly, flowing in this devil sky, cruising by Jesus Christ. I can see the sun's eye, and it's hella fly. I can hear the angels cry. I can be your angel too, but see you, I'm just hella fly. I'm hella fly, flowing in this devil sky, cruising by Jesus Christ. I can see the sun's eye, and it's hella fly. I can hear the angels cry. I can be your angel too, but see you, I'm just hella fly. A fly nigga at his peak. The bird tryna eat. Got a worm in my beak. I'm spitting to a beat from a hummingbird's sweet vulture. Flying over roadkill in the street. Beast, I be covered in clouds when I sleep. I can grab Big Dipper, use it for spoon when I eat. If niggas don't listen when the fly nigga speak, then I levitate a slave, take a nigga off his feet. Blue sky moving clouds when I fly. My game be like planes, I'm a first class guy. Raining on your steam when I'm pissing out the sky. Fly nets digest, so I'm shitting on the nine. Smell me, niggas fly as me rarely. Boy, please, it's all shit. My product be dairy. Hell's angels, both of them near me. The flyer I get, the harder it is to see you. I'm hella fly, flowing in this devil sky, cruising by Jesus Christ. I can see the sun's eye, and it's hella fly. I can hear the angels cry. I can be your angel too, but see you, I'm just hella fly. I'm hella fly, flowing in this devil sky, cruising by Jesus Christ. I can see the sun's eye, and it's hella fly. I can hear the angels cry. I can be your angel too, but see you, I'm just hella fly.
Yo, yo, yo. Thank y'all for calling in, man. Got another track right here by my nigga Rio Galore. It's called No Shirt. My nigga Rio Galore, straight from the Twin Cities, man. Repping Minnesota hard, man. We getting it in up here, but make sure y'all search my nigga Rio Galore, R-E-O-G-A-L-O-R. No shirt, man. We finna get into it.
Yeah. Ha. What's good? No shirt. I got my nigga Z-Boy in the building. Mac Mindy in the building. Backpack is good. Shout out Reds for the beat, though. PRT, man.
Yeah. Tattoos, show it all. Bad bitch, yup, and she bout to take it all. Ha! No shirt, nah. No shirt, nah. I'm riding through the city with no shirt, yeah. Tattoos, show it all. Yeah, bad bitch, yup, and she bout to take it all. Yup. No shirt, no shirt. I'm riding through the city with no shirt.
I be going in, it ain't shit you could tell me. Body marked up like everywhere in LA. Man, I tried telling, but I don't think they ready. Blowing on that loud marijuana, sin heavy, heavy, heavy. I'm sharp as a machete, and I will take your girl from you if she let me.
Let me.
Let's see, you niggas will respect me. Holla when you see me, better come at me correctly. Know that we rode up in the blowback. Wonder why these other niggas so last. Yeah, I got room for some more tats. Bustin', bangin', movin', groovin', gettin' money is what we doin'.
Tattoos, show it all. Bad bitch, yup, and she bout to take it all. Ha! No shirt, nah. No shirt, no, I'm riding through the city with no shirt, yeah. Tattoos, show it off, yeah, bad bitch, and she bout to take it off, yup. No shirt, no shirt, I'm riding through the city with no shirt. About to get my whole damn chest tatted, and your bitch don't love it. Fanatic, blowing four different shows, yup, fantastic. You got T-Rex, old cat, Jurassic. Dress drive for my cats, looking fresh though. Trying to drop a bad bitch right around the metro. Red Bull, triple levitation, let's go. Shorty tatted on her forearms, neck and throat. Got her own cash, work hard, not kinda smart. Mona Lisa frames, oh yeah, girl, you got that body art. Like a glyph on them ancient walls. Skinny nigga, shirt off. Tattoos, show it off. Bad bitch, yup, and she bout to take it off. Ha! No shirt, nah. No shirt, nah. I'm riding through the city with no shirt, yeah. Tattoos, show it off. Yeah, bad bitch, and she bout to take it off. Yup. No shirt,
no shirt,
no shirt,
no
come
shirt.
Come ride through the city with no shirt.
Call a guy up, tell him I'm trying to get tatted. Ever since I heard this hit, y'all niggas ain't got me started. Now I'm trying to get my neck chest back in both of my arms. Dead sleep, y'all know what I mean. Got your bitch attention as I walk up on the scene. Got good weed, chill low key. Then I'm posted with my team. And your bitch heard I'm a star, now she gon' let me get between. And I'ma take it to the crib so she can slowly drop some jeans. Lower back, tattoo, yeah. Beast is what it reads. And I'ma beat it up so she can't breathe. And I'm turned up off that liquor, mixed up with some trees. And I'm addicted, I'ma get tatted up like every week.
Tattoos, show it all. Bad bitch, yup, and she bout to take it off. Ha! No shirt, nah. No shirt, nah. I'm riding through the city with no shirt, yeah. Tattoos, show it off. Yeah, bad bitch, and she bout to take it off. Yup, no shirt,
no shirt,
no shirt. I'm riding through the city with no shirt.
Alright,
What up, what up, what up? Thank y'all for calling in, man. Minnesota Fresh. Fresh Fridays. Don't forget the three, man. Oh, damn. I got 333 people on my chat on Facebook. I like to look at that. But anyway, we got a caller on. You know what I'm saying? We got a 480-341. Let's see what you want to say, man. I got you online right now. 480-341.
What up, Minnesota Freshers?
What up?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm on the radio. I know this is like your third or fourth broadcast. Supposed to call and say something. But,
you got a lot to say, though. You need to stop being shy like you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. For real.
Well, I just be listening. And trying to gather my, you know, what I really want to say and put it together. So I could come at people with the right approach, because that's what it's about, how you approach people.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You know, I ran into a dude yesterday. And he was a really, really, really angry black dude. And, I mean, what he was saying now, it was true. You know, he was like, every time I turn, I mean, he irate. I mean, his white folks around and shit, he don't even care. He like, man, every time I turn on the fucking TV, it's niggas killing niggas. And these white motherfuckers. And, I mean, he was just going ham. I'm trying to tell him, like, you know, it's not our fault, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was trying to break it down to him. He asking me all these questions. He's like, let me ask you something. Like, he was angry, you know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to trying to calm him down. Like, it's about how you approach it, you know what I'm saying? Because these white folks give a fuck about what you're talking about, not the ones out here right now. You see what I'm saying? He's asking me rhetorical questions and shit. He's like, let me ask you this. If so-and-so, as soon as I try to answer it, he already got his answer to it and shit. That's how you know. I'm like, yeah, he in his feelings. But what he was saying was some real shit, you know what I'm saying? But like you said, it's definitely about the approach and how you come at it.
Right, because we all have the right, a lot of us have the right attitudes, just not the right approach. So we need to work on our approach. But, yeah, what I wanted to say is, okay, we all know you can't turn a hoe into a housewife, right? And vice versa. That goes for men, too, right?
Yeah.
So what I wanted to know is, why do guys get with women? And I'm asking you because you're a guy. Why would you get with a person, and then when you got with them, you expected something good to come out of it when you knew what type of person they was from the beginning? Like, what makes that okay? Why do men do that? And women do it too, so I'm not going to put all the blame on men, but women do the same thing. They see a man.
What you're asking is, why do men get into something that they know they're not ready for? And women too, why do people get into things that they're not necessarily ready for?
Right. Why do they get into relationships and have babies with people that they know may not be ready for, you know, that type of situation?
Love is not only blind, but it's blinding. if you see what I'm saying. So we all have that There's a speaker named Phil Valentine, and he says when people tell you, oh, search for your feminine self, you know, search for your feminine side, and, you know, he snap off, like, I don't need no feminine side. Here's my woman right here. You know, my feminine side isn't inside me. She's outside of me. But the thing is, everything is a duality. You know, we have two sides to our brain. You know what I'm saying? And once we learn how to unify those, when you come to a physical realm, we need the opposite. You see what I'm saying? We need that, you know, being a woman, you know, a woman needs that man. They do, because it's just incomplete, and you can live without one. I mean, yeah, you ain't going to die because you don't have a man, but I've known older couples that have been together so long that when one of them died, the other one died shortly after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's how interconnected they were. But people get into things like that to try to answer a question simply. People get into things like that because everyone needs somebody to be there for them. You know what I'm saying? And what we do is we don't, once you find somebody that you're attracted to physically, the other things tend to take second place, or, you know, like it tends to take the back seat. You know, if you had a problem with her, you know, her attitude or something, you know, you mm-hmm. might blow that off, you know, and not her, just vice versa, you know, him or her. If
right.
they had an attitude problem, you know, you'd probably blow that off just mm-hmm. because, you know, you were physically attracted and, you know.
See, that's
like that.
One thing that you should never blow off, because attitude is, like, one of the biggest things. If you're trying
or
to make
a relationship.
Or things
that doesn't necessarily change. Attitude doesn't change unless they want it to change. Unless, you know, if you're in denial, your attitude definitely ain't going to change.
Yeah,
you know,
I definitely think
that's
that.
A problem.
Yeah. I think attitude can change. I think people can change into, you know, better than, you know, what they are at the current moment. I do believe that change is possible.
I think the best, well, what we need to do, the best thing to ask somebody, right? I think the best thing to ask somebody is when you meet somebody, say, what's wrong with you? And they be like, what? What do you mean? You see what I'm saying? Be like, no, what are your problems? What's wrong with you? And they be like, ain't nothing wrong with me. Be like, all right, talk to you later. You see
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Because if somebody believes that they don't have issues, then
mm-hmm.
when you tell them they do, they're going to fight you. Like, I don't, ain't nothing wrong
right.
with me. And that, you know, women and men do this. You know what I'm saying? And there's a...
Yeah, because a lot of people do not like constructive criticism. They don't like criticism, period.
At all. You know what I'm saying? But I wrote on my Facebook like a week ago or something like that. I said, I'd rather be ridiculed with the truth than to be, you know, than for somebody to tell me a lie to pump my head up.
Right,
you see
right.
what I'm saying? If I'm ugly, you know, make fun of me because I'm ugly, goddammit, and it's going to be better for me because I'm going to find a way to look pretty. You see
know
what
you're
saying?
Ugly.
But if I'm ugly and you're telling me I'm fly, I'm going to remain ugly because I think I'm fly.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I'd rather be ridiculed than anything, but,
right,
I think, you know, we as people, say, go ahead.
Because constructive criticism is meant for you to take it as a way to improve yourself. When somebody criticizes
yeah.
you, if it's true, you have to accept that truth and then make that decision to change it into something better.
Or at least ask yourself, where are they getting this from? You know what I'm saying? Don't just completely blow it off, you know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't true. Just think to yourself, like, I wonder why they said that. Even if you
right,
don't think
or you
it's
can't
true.
Even ask them. You don't even have to
yeah,
think it. If
exactly.
they don't have to tell you, then you're right. You do think it through and, you know, come to your own conclusions. Because not all the time when somebody criticizes you, it's constructive. A lot of motherfuckers just be bullshitting, you know, trying to make
it's
you
ridicule.
Feel worse.
You know, it's ridiculous. Well, yeah, but that, then again, it's ridicule, you see what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, you know, ridicule, when somebody ridicule you, you got to know yourself, too. If you don't know yourself, somebody can tell you something that ain't true, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And have you think it is true, you see what I'm saying? That's I guess that's the negative part about being ridiculed. But at the end of the day, what we need to do is find, we need that, you know, it's like a yin and yang type of effect, you know what I'm saying? So you need...
Mm-hmm.
There's all, like they say, you got a soulmate or something like that, you know. There is that thing, even if it's not just a person, like, you know, music was something that helped me out, you know what I'm saying, and filled a void. But that was just one, you know what I'm saying. Everybody has that one thing that they're drawn to. And, I mean, as far as men and women go, that's something that's going to be here forever. We're always going to, you know, as a man, we're always going to want that one woman. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To make us look at every other woman like you ain't got nothing on the one that I got. And every
right.
woman gonna want the same thing, you know what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
you know,
we gotta
realize what's real as opposed to what they're telling us we need in a significant other. We gotta know what we want for ourselves in a significant other. And don't settle until you find it.
Right, and also when you find it, you're supposed to already know how to maintain it. Because, okay, it's easy to get into a relationship, but is it easy to keep one? No. Is it easy to stay in a relationship? No. And then you have to figure out, okay, why is it not easy to stay in a relationship? So you have to go, you have to, like, dig deep and figure out, you know, what's the foundation of a relationship? Well, I say the number one thing is communication, point blank, period. Without communication, you don't have a foundation for your relationship.
That's how I started off my last relationship with my baby mom. We got two kids. I told her from jump. And even though I could realize she, you know, she wasn't the communicating type, I gave her the benefit of the doubt, you know, but she was one of those people that believed, oh, trust is first. And trust is first. So how can you trust somebody that ain't talking to you?
Right. She's missing
first,
something.
Trust, no. But I did, you know, I'm guilty of that, you know, messing with somebody that I probably shouldn't have messed with because we weren't on the same level. But, you know, it took a while to realize that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is what it is.
So you can't blame her completely,
you know? No, definitely
you know?
Not. Definitely not.
Yeah, so yeah, I just want to say all men, stop blaming women because, you know, if you knew that there was something wrong with them before you got with them, then you have to take part of that blame too.
And you did that to yourself, intentionally, because, you know, no one outside of you can do anything to you. At the end of the day, you
right.
did it to yourself because you let it happen. You allowed it to happen, especially if you've seen it.
Exactly, and that's what it's about. That's another thing. We have to start taking responsibility for our own actions, because if we don't take responsibility, we aren't going to be able to change anything for the future.
True. I think a mistake that a lot of people make is we look towards other people to fix our own problems. Like,
yeah, well,
like,
we should be looking deep down inside ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly, but somebody will tell you, oh, you're the reason why I feel like this about myself. How am I the reason that you feel a way about yourself?
Well, because that person lacks knowledge, see? That person lacks knowledge. And maybe it's their fault, maybe it's not their fault. You never know, because some parents don't teach their children nothing or anything, and then they grow up and they don't know anything. And then, you know, people outside who have learned something meet up with this person and don't understand where that person's coming from, but, you know, it's partly their fault if they've grown, but, you know, a lot of people didn't come from homes where their parents taught them stuff about life, about relationships, about anything, period.
Well, the thing is, let me say this real quick. They taught them, but they didn't sit down and teach them the right thing. You see what I'm saying? They taught them just because their children seen the dysfunction within the family, you see what I'm saying? And that's what they learned from. There was no one really sitting there like, you know, there wasn't the mothers just, for the most part, women are growing up nowadays with a mama saying, you don't need no man. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Do it all yourself. I know women out here that are trying to have children without the father. Like, I don't need him. You know, I just want a baby. I want a baby, but I don't need the father there. Like, they're proactively trying to have children without the father being there because they don't feel like they need him. You see what I'm saying?
Right,
and that's
right.
A whole host of other shit that's just like...
Well, yeah, that's crazy because why would you want your child to grow up without a father, you know? Like, a mother and a father should be in their child's life, even if they're not together.
Exactly.
Like, you should have that privilege of growing up knowing both your mother and your father, and they should be willingly raising you because, you know.
Be proactive in your life. Definitely be proactive in your life, too.
Right.
You know,
that's going to improve the child.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's
but, yeah, people, I don't know, women who are on that trying to have babies without the fathers, that's just a whole bunch of bullshit. I mean, but hey,
I look at it from both sides because a lot of women are like, niggas ain't shit. You know, that whole mentality of, you know, niggas ain't shit. And some women, you gotta understand, you know, some women want a child. You know, they want somebody that's love and, you know, somebody that'll never leave them, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that. So I understand the want for that type of interaction with somebody, you know, but it's a tricky situation. It really is, because a family is a family, you know what I'm saying, and a union
right.
between a man and a woman is a union, which is a child, you see what I'm saying, and y'all are forever conjoined within that seed that y'all made. Y'all forever together in that child that y'all made, but you know, we'll see how it goes, man. But, you know, a lot of women are out here, and it's just, you know, that's just how they want it. And I understand it on one end, you know, the fact that you want somebody to love and to never leave you. And some of these dudes out here tend to do that, and your child won't, you know. So I definitely understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, I understand that, too. But we must.
It's still detrimental to the family structure.
We should know. We have to know that. We have to be aware in every decision we make. So don't just make a decision based on how you're feeling. Be aware, be, you know, alert, and ask yourself, is that really what you want? Because, you know,
aggressive.
You have to
be
careful
aggressive.
What
I'm
you
sorry.
Ask for.
I had to
right,
say that.
Right, right. Be aggressive, be alert, be aware. Don't just say stuff and then do stuff without even knowing why you're doing it. Because that right there is how you're going to fuck up your life, just doing shit just because you heard it on, you know, or you heard
somewhere.
Somebody else say that's what they want, or that you've seen it on Mari. I don't know.
This is the culture we live in, though. We, you know what I'm saying? We see things on TV. I was with my homegirl yesterday. You know, we matching or whatever. You know what I'm saying? There's some kids around and shit. But we in the kitchen. I'm like, okay. If I'm going to be in the kitchen in y'all way, I'll make some cornbread, right? I was like, I'll make the cornbread. The little girl come in the kitchen, and she say, oh, it's just like Master Chef. You're on the blue team. You're on the red team. You're on the green team. And I was like, you watching too much TV, little girl.
Right. For you to know about Master
Chef. I'm just making some cornbread, girl. You make it. You do it too much. It was funny, though. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, that just let me know that TV... guide, you know, the television is raising our youth right about now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's really not a good thing at all.
That's
not
because, TV is controlled by the white man, of course.
Exactly.
You know, the Jews or whoever you want to call them, but they put out what they want you to see for a reason, and that's to control you. So you can't get lost in TV. Even if you watch it, just don't get lost in it. Like try as hard as to understand everything, especially TV. Understand it. Don't just let it submerge you, and you just fall into every little TV show on, you know, and just be all in it, and that's it.
If I ever watch TV, I watch it like I'm Siskel and fucking Ebert. I watch that shit so critically, and I'm just looking. I mean, I like watching Fox News. I love watching Fox News because I know it's a bunch of bullshit propaganda, and when I see it, like when I see it from my own eyes, it's funny. It's like, you know, I might as well be watching the comedy. You see, I like to tell people, I got this from my white homeboy named Dan. Daniel Squires, my nigga to the world blow, man. But he said, what'd he say? He said, I get my comedy from Fox News, and I get my news from Comedy Central. Like, that's some real shit. It's so real, though. Because Comedy Central tells you the truth. They just make a joke out of it. Fox News will tell you a lie and make you think it's real.
Hell yeah, and that's not good. But that's
not
how it is. That's why we have to take control of our own lives. It's possible. Don't let nobody tell you that it's impossible for you to take control of your own life. You know, we have the power to attract whatever we want into our lives. We just have to become awakened and become aware of what it is that we asking for.
Exactly. Because the TV will make you ask for some shit that you don't even need.
And
but subconsciously, that's what they're controlling.
Exactly. That's crazy. That's how crazy and that's how deep it is. And it's so serious.
For real.
Yeah.
watching all these murder shows and shit like that, and then we wonder why we feel like we want to go kill somebody real quick out of nowhere. Like, why do I got an urge to go murder somebody right now?
And then another thing, we listening to all this, you know, music about all these so-called drug dealers selling drugs and making all this money and rolling in all these fancy cars and shit. So it makes people automatically want to go out and try to live that lifestyle when they don't even have, you know, what it's not going to happen. You can't, you know, expect to try to do the same thing that they telling you they doing on raps and then think it's going to work for you, because 9 times out of 10, those rappers are lying anyway. They're not doing that shit.
For the most part, and that's why I respect Jay-Z, because of the simple fact that the way he talked about what he did and how he talked about it, he said chains is cool to cop, but more important is lawyer fees on his first mix, on his first album. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So some other artists will just, you know, they be like, you know, they teach you how to cook it up and shit. You know what I'm saying? I done heard songs, they teach you how to cook
up. And that's not good. You don't want to learn how to cook up drugs. That's just what the white man put into our hoods to fucking destroy us. Don't fucking teach my son that shit. I'm not even going to let him listen to that bullshit. But you know what I'm just saying? All that
stuff is
not good.
We
got to
get back to hip-hop. But one thing I want people to understand before we get off the phone here is with hip-hop, the conscious hip-hop is not going to make it unless we make it. You see what I'm saying? It's not going to be promoted on the media. Media isn't going to, like, that's why I say the type of music I make, I'm not going to make it in the way that I always thought I could. You see what I'm saying? Like, just big, you know, I'm gonna make it as far as Common. Or, you see what I'm saying? If I want to make it far, I'm going to have to pull a Kanye move and, you know, be ignorant with it for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Shuck and jive for the white man, but retain my knowledge and what I want to do. And then right at the end, make a song called New Slaves. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's different ways to do it, but what we got to do is we got to filter. I definitely want my child to hear soul music, and I want them to understand what true hip-hop is and how it's supposed to teach. You know, but I was raised on soul music. You know, my mom played Erykah Badu, you know, Lauryn Hill, you know, En Vogue. Who else?
All that old shit, you know.
She used to play jazz and stuff like that. Sade, I still got a crush on Sade, man.
Right.
I love Sade, but, you know, I think that's what made me into the type of person I am, you know, because, yeah, I was raised with this vibe, you know. Everything is vibrations and there would be no life without music. So I'm a firm believer in whatever music you listen to growing up fashions the type of person you are. That's why they say if you let your child listen to Mozart, which is, you know, classical music is black music. Just in case anybody out there didn't know, you know what I'm saying, that's listening right now. But classical music played into the womb, they say, and while your child comes out, and, you know, it's a baby. They say classical music actually could heighten your child's IQ. The frequencies that, you know, everything is metaphysical. Everything is physical, metaphysical. You know, everything is broken down to so many different levels, you know, that we think this physical world is all, but it really
it's
ain't.
Not.
This is just part of it. This is just part of it. But, But I'm going to get into some more songs. Thank you for calling in, Shay Shay.
Yeah, a.k.a. Miss X, yes.
Miss X. You have to stop. Girl, stop.
Yeah, I like so fresh.
Thank you for calling in. I'll holler at you later.
All right. Peace.
All right. What up, man? Minnesota Fresh back at it. We finna get into a few more songs. And then if anybody want to call in and press one for, I'm about to close out here in a few minutes. We're going to play a few songs. And then I'm going to give y'all my closing statement, man. Thank y'all so much for rocking with me. Minnesota Fresh, FR3SH. Don't forget the 3. Like my nigga JG said, man, when that bitch is getting out of line, she say some shit that's off the wall. You tell her, bitch, don't get fresh with me. Ah, that shit funny as hell. All right, man, we're finna get into another song, man. I'm about to play this Lil Chief on the track, man. Another one of my Twin Cities, you know what I'm saying, one of Twin Cities' finest, you know what I'm saying, one of the many. Lil Chief on the track, man. He doing a lot of shit out here, man. My nigga just dropped a mixtape not too long ago, around the time I dropped my first mixtape. Don't forget the 3, March 3rd, 3/3/13. You know, don't forget the 3. Make sure you never forget the 3. It's blasphemy to forget the 3. But we gonna play my nigga Lil Chief on the track, Game on Smash, man. My nigga goes in. Thank y'all for listening in. We'll be right back. Right now, let's just understand this. 75% of black households, and that's I think I'm pretty sure that's an old figure, but until I find a newer figure, I'm pretty sure it's higher than that. But when I find a newer figure, I will definitely let you know, but I'm pretty sure it's higher than that. But while we're at 75%, we have to understand that divide and conquer is a real way to take things over. And I mean, that's it's not a there isn't there's no deviation from that. I mean, divide and conquer, that literally happens. So seeing that 75% of our households are broken, you realize that someone has divided us pretty effectively, and someone has been conquering us. And it's hard for me to say that because, you're being conquered. No one likes to say that you're being conquered, but we are being conquered, and we've been divided. So if we don't understand that, we can't work from that. So as it stands right now, 25% of people in our community that have children are together. And let me see if I can give you an analogy or put it in any other way. Matter of fact, my nigga, just so I can let my nigga know, Juan Crusty Catalyst, man, that was my nigga Lil Chief on the track, Game on Smash. He just asked me who was that I just played. He said he rocked with that shit. My nigga Lil Chief, LilCheeff, Game on Smash. That's just, you know, I digress, but I had to let my dude know because I told you that shit do go hard, though, man. And matter of fact, while he talking, I'm going to get into his song next once I finish this little diatribe right here. But he got a song, man. I love this shit, man, but we definitely going to play that next. But back to what's really going on is 75% of the households are broken up. And that's in anything, that's an epidemic status. And it's all about the kids. You know, we got to understand that 70, you know, as far as 70, if 75% of our families are broken up, who knows how many children come along with that. And it would be something good for me to find out how many children are growing up in households that don't have two parents. You see, in the household that only has the mother. And, I really don't want to throw a number out there because this is just me speculating, so I'm going to do it anyway now that I told you I'm speculating. But I would really say 90 to 95% of the kids that we have in this society. Maybe let me say 85. I'm going to say 85. I ain't going to cut it that hard. I'm going to say 85% of all the kids, all our children, are in households that are broken. And that's a perpetual motion machine. So you have, you know, speculation, but when you have 85% of children, supposedly, that aren't in homes that have both the parents, when they grow up, one or two things are going to happen, because this is what happened to me. And then there's another way to go about it. But I grew up in a household with one parent. And I told myself that when I had kids, even if I didn't even know how to have kids, I was so young telling myself this, I didn't even know how to have kids. But I said, when I have kids, I'm going to always be there. You know, my father isn't here. I'm going to make sure because I know how it feels. So then I got older. I had my first child at 17. And, man, my oldest, she's 9 now, and me and her mom, you know, we just had sex. Never were together or anything like that, and we couldn't bring that family together because we weren't together to begin with, and it was just hard to bring it together. So a little few years down the line, 3 or 6 years down the line, I had two other children by a woman, and with that still being in my mind, the fact that I'm going to work as hard as I can, I'm going to do everything I can. I asked this woman to marry, you know, and things like that. I went a little too hard for someone that came from a household that where she had a mother and a father, but it was broken within the household. You see, so if you can understand that, she doesn't, I'm fighting for something that she doesn't think is possible. I never had it, so I said, I'm going to fight for it. She always had it, and she's seen how it broke up. So at the end of the day, you have to find someone that has rough, not necessarily the same background that you have, but you got to have the same ideals, the same morals. You have to want the same thing. And that's what we got to realize. We got to want the same things. And if you don't, then, you know, you'll just have kids and, yeah, a baby mama or a baby daddy at the end of the day. So even if you can't be with the woman that you made children with, if that's not possible, you still find someone. You find someone and you find someone that's on your level once you grow past that person. You find someone that's on your level and you still can create a black household. Now, I would say if you have kids and find a woman with kids, build a family from there. If y'all love each other, you know what I'm saying, y'all love each other's kids, that's a way we can fix this from today. That's how we fix this from today. I got a caller in right now. We're gonna let this caller come through. This is 614-598. 614-598, man. Say what you got to say, man.
Hey, what's good, man? This is Chris Unruly here, man, calling out Ohio in the Midwest. I just seen a post from the young lady just showing a little love.
Most def. I appreciate that, brother.
Yeah, what's going on tonight?
Basically, you know what I'm saying, we're just trying to figure out what's going on with the black household and why 75% of our families are, you know, effectively divided. You see what I'm saying? And at the beginning, I started off from the 60s and where, you know, our households were a lot more solid than they are now. You know, we had the mother, the father, the kids, and, you know, our family structure was solid. But 40 years down the line, 40, 50 years down the line, we come to a place where we're at now, and 75% of our households are broken up, and that's essentially it's divide and conquer. So I've been touching base on that and essentially trying to do my part to lower this percentage. You see what I'm saying?
Wow. Well, I don't want to get on here for about an hour with that one, but I'll just say you know, it is systematic
yes,
deliberate in the intentions. Not to tell my age, but I grew up in the era that probably kicked it all off, unfortunately, Generation
yeah.
X. But you know, it's just the glorification of, you know, being out and not taking responsibility. And, you know, you see a glorification of it going on nowadays, you know, with people being proud of, you know, multiple partners and something that's prolific that I see going on, at least in music, is this, you know, dating other dudes, ladies, you know, phenomenon and what they're doing with that, which really bugs me out. Sloppy leftovers became a new fad, but there's a lot of things that go into that, but yeah, it's definitely something systematic that's, you know, just in every shape, way, form, or angle has been, you know, exploited. You know, you take a group set of people and you give them less chances and choices and outlets than others, and people out of desperation do different things. Laws are set against them up until the last couple of years, at least. You know, unfairly, and they were getting sentenced for the same things, other things people was doing for a lot longer time. And, you know, it just left a wide gap. And then in the meantime, on the flip side, you got, you know, the ladies being, you know, put up, and shout out to the ladies, they're doing their thing, but they're getting put up on a pedestal and they go to college
yeah.
and anything like that. And it starts switching over to the breadwinners, which, you know, makes the dudes, you know, feel bad about that kind of thing, and not being, you know, sexist or nothing like that, but I'm just saying,
well, yeah, but
the dynamic that's been set up.
That word sexist, you know, they use that word, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, like they're propping up the women to be,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know, going to school, they getting smart, they going out, they getting the good jobs while the dude's getting locked up.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, the dudes feel like they got to, you know, bring something to the table, so they hitting the streets, they up in the heat on people, you know, it's getting them locked up, and then, you know, that's leaving a lot of kids, you know, without a complete family, you know, and just the value of the family has been so diluted, too. Yeah, I mean, if you just look on TV and everything else, you know what I'm saying, like, it's nuclear households, like, you ain't seen nothing since the Cosby's, you know, and that was like the 80s. You know what I'm saying?
I grew up on the Cosby's, too. That's what let me know that I was living in a different society, because I'm like, black families live like that? The Cosby's really messed my head up. It really did, because I was like, what? That happened?
I mean, I was always mad if he had left that half a glass of orange juice, man, because I really wanted some orange juice. I'm like, damn, man, you always take two sips. At least half a glass of orange juice, man. You know, if you're growing up poor, you know what I'm saying? You can feel that. But, you know, like I said before, it's a ton of little here's and there's that are adding up, you know, but, you know, from gangs to everything's been put in place to just watch your own downfall. Now, sad thing about it is we just took it hook and sinker, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, they gave us the choices. We could have made different choices. You know what I'm saying? So, slaves was helping out.
When they make your choices to where, you know, you only have two or three as opposed to 20 or 30, you see what I'm saying? You find the easiest, fastest, the quickest way to make what you want. And that's what I said that a little earlier. Once they introduced crack cocaine, that on both ends, so whether you were a fiend to the money or you were a fiend to the drug, it just broke everything up, because now the crackheads are like, I don't care about my kids, just let me get a rock. You see what I'm saying? And the dudes that are selling
it. Out too, man. I mean, there was real money flowing through that system, man. Like, I know people that was buying cars, buying homes, buying businesses, getting out of town, traveling the world, all that off of making money like that. So,
and,
you know,
so
when you only have certain... role models to look up to, and you see that those people are getting their way out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you think that's your limited choices in life. I went through a long period of time myself, not speaking for anybody else, where I was in a survival mentality and not a person that can stop, think, and live a little and understand what's really going on. You know, I figured out, unfortunately, after learning some hard lessons, that there's other ways to do things in life and get to different places just besides your typical, you know, what black people do. That type of stuff. So
it's
just about range. At this point, though, you know, what you got to do is, I hate to say it, I think, though, that there's a couple generations just gone, chalk them up, you know, and just start working on the ones coming up. You know, they're growing up with no perceptions. Like my mom, you know, she came right out of that, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s era, that type of thing, you know. So that's, you know, what she taught me was, like, you know, these things exist. And I'm not to say there's a blind eye to them, but we're a couple of generations now removed from that. So, you know, the main thing is just teaching the next generation coming out, like, hey, you know, that's about the only way it's going to make a change right now, is if you just start and just show them the right concept model of what needs to happen.
That is definitely true, brother. That is definitely true. But thank you for calling in, man. I really appreciate the knowledge you just dropped, man. I hope everybody else out here hear my brother, man, because that was some real true spit, man. It really was.
Yeah.
I appreciate you for calling in.
Check this out,
man.
Anybody out there that's listening, big shouts out to y'all. Y'all can follow me on Twitter at WeUnruly614. It's Chris Unruly. You know, just Google Unruly Records 614, man. We out there.
Unruly Records, most def, man. Make sure y'all check my dude out, man. Much love. I appreciate you calling in, bro. I do this every Friday from 5 to 7. Find me on Facebook if you can, Minnesota Fresh, FR3SH. You know what I'm saying? And when I see, when I run into you, make sure we link up. I'll let you know the next topic. You know, every week it's a different topic, you know.
And shout out to Miss Queen T promo and the whole Minnesota movement, man. I feel y'all 100%, man. Much love to the Midwest.
All love, man. I appreciate you. Thank you for calling in, man.
No problem, sir. Peace.
You have a good one.
You too.
Yo. Back at it, man. Thanks to everybody that called in. I got about 2 minutes left for my closing statement. So what I'm going to my closing statement essentially is, first off, we have to, it's all about teaching. If I'm pretty sure a lot of our brothers and young brothers and sisters out there, you know, as far as high school and grammar school and things like that go, don't ever think that they're too young to know the truth. And as far as that, as far as the truth goes, I mean, letting them know what's been happening to them, what type of world that they're going to have to deal with, not only when they get, you know, out of high school, but once they walk outside your doors, the type of world that they're going to have to deal with and the things that are put up against them, and they have to understand, definitely have to tell them what we're going through and what we're trying to fix. So everybody out there, man, if y'all listening, y'all have kids, y'all have nieces, nephews, cousins, or whatever, make sure you do the research for them and you tell them ASAP. Soon as you find out, you go tell them, because the school isn't going to tell them anything. So we have to reach to our youth and let them know. Give them numbers. Give them percentages. Give them videos. Give them websites to look at. Give them things to do other than watch TV all day. Show them YouTube videos. That's what I make my kids do when they with me. We watch YouTube videos. Y'all gonna watch what the hell I watch. They get bored, but I don't care. They go outside there. You understand what I'm saying? But thank y'all for calling in. I really appreciate the love. It's Minnesota Fresh, Fresh Fridays. Man. We're going to do this shit again next week. Stay in tune with my Facebook, and we'll let you know what we're talking about. Peace.